Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
For years, I've maintained the biggest fodder of talk radio. We didn't call it woke then. It was called politically correct before woke. All these wokeisms, thousands and thousands of them, more than the politics. That's the thing, I think, that drives it. Here's the latest. I saw the James Beard Awards. These are kind of to foodies, the Oscars. Here's the wrinkle, though. During the run-up to the James Beard Foundation's Restaurant and Chef's Awards, which kicked off Monday night, and some Philadelphians won in Chicago, there's controversy over what goes into it. It's not just the food. If you are someone who yells at staff, and in some cases, patrons, think of Gordon Ramsay, what he would do with these guys, right? Then they're not going to give you, or you're really going to have to outperform someone else, the award. So is it the food or is it the personality? Also, if you have tweeted or on Facebook or some social media, something they don't like, there's what one finalist called an interrogation. The investigation asked this finalist about her social media private and public accounts. Someone had sent them to the foundation for an analysis. The post potentially violated the organization's code, and she could be accused of being a bully.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
Can you imagine? So, I love the Borowski souffle. Let's face it, the guy, I mean, I think of most of these chefs, that's what they do. They're yelling, they're breaking plates. George Perrier over here at Lebec Finn, place like that. You know, in the kitchen, it's legendary. Every Hollywood scene you see, they're going after each other with knives, and there's a lot of heat in there, a lot of stuff going back and forth. It's intense. So now even the James Beard Award for great chefs has all this backstory. Is there an area of our life, the one I'm still amazed at, where there's so much of this stuff, is sports. I just think sports would be a little bit more rough and tumble in general, right? But even the world of James Beard. Dan, what would you say? We're about halfway through 2023, I will give you the most memorable, because listeners still say it. That's my metric of the politically correct thing. When we told them you can't say aloha anymore. Remember that? It was appropriating another culture.
Or you're not, bro.
Yeah. Is there one that you particularly remember that...
It's the French. Remember when they're trying to cancel us saying the French when we're talking about the French people?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Don't say the French.
I guess we can't say French fries and French toast and...
I just thought the aloha, though, it just rings so true. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's an inflection. Sometimes it's an award. They put something in that is just...
I love that the aloha is stuck, too. Like, when callers call us and say aloha,
oh, yes.
It's amazing.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Fishabine. Gary said it today. That's why it triggered me. I love it when it sticks. That people. It just shows it is endless. And you got to think, that's the losing hand, this woke stuff.
How much cappellini are you throwing away?
I mean, the guy is a one-trick pony, but he is intriguing. You know, how many times did he do that?
What's the matter with you?
When he takes a bite of something and spits it out. Oh, okay, you got that?
I dumped that one.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, wow, Gordon.
All right. Rand Paul, I'm already working on this. You'll love this. Is coming out with a new book, Day of Reckoning. It's about the Fauci cover-up. It's about all of his back and forth with Fauci, what really happens, and we're going to see. The Republicans still have not called Fauci before them. Those were high drama when Rand Paul and Fauci would square off. So that book will be out in the fall. We hope to have him here, hope to do something with it. The Fauci cover-up. And he really drills down on this. We still have not had that day of reckoning. All right, one other quick story, then I'm coming to the cars. Great side question today, which is, hit us with somebody known for their eyeglasses or monocle or something, sunglass, something related to it, real or fictional. I have an update for you. Remember Sesame Place? Seems like forever ago, right? That discrimination lawsuit. Well, it survived its first legal hurdle. I don't understand why it has more. But U.S. Eastern Pennsylvania District Court Judge Wendy Beetlestone.
Oh, what a name.
I know. That's why I said it.
You think she's a bigger fan of the Beetle or the Stones?
Yes. That's right. She's got them both.
She's got them both in her
Your
name.
Your Honor, before we start this case, I'd like to know which one.
You are the determining factor. Your last name is Beetlestone.
Yes.
The debate ends here. Where do you go?
And some elements of a lawsuit against Sesame Place and its parent company, SeaWorld. What they said is, there's no evidence that the theme park failed to properly hire, train, and supervise employees. But they also allow them to go forward with the lawsuit to say that there was negligence here. The company is liable because it violated federal and state anti-discrimination laws. Now, how many times have we said this? That we've all seen the video of some of this stuff. Right now, they want to have a class action, which would bring hundreds of plaintiffs to this. We're supposed to believe these kids. And I was told by somebody who I believe knew that one of the characters in question was a minority themselves, that instead of just bypassing kids.
Aren't they Muppets?
Well, I meant the human person.
Oh, okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the... Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
That rather than bypassing it, they just had a policy of at certain times not interacting with the kids. And in addition to that, time was up for their performance, what they were going to do. Now, would it have been better to high-five, particularly the two little girls with the backpacks that we've seen? Yeah. I guess, you know, they have handlers. They can't see in the costume so well. We're supposed to believe, though, that Sesame Street and some of these kids that were playing these characters, they were discriminating against kids of color. And they were not going to give them the same high five or treatment or pat them on the head as they would white kids that were there. My God. So it's ongoing. But they did say there was no evidence, the first part of this, that the theme park failed to properly hire, train, and supervise employees. Well, that would seem that they, you know, talked to them about everything involved with this. And certainly all children, giving them a fair shake, would be part of it. I just thought you'd like to know. And it's going to be on. This will go on for years. And if the current attorneys get their way, you could see hundreds of plaintiffs. Why? Well, there's going to be money in it. There could be a settlement in this some point. But so far, Sesame Place has hung pretty tough on this. And they won the first round saying, yeah, they did hire, train, and supervise their employees correctly. We're supposed to believe that this goes to a jury, that they would knowingly take what, 7 or 8 year old, two black girls, bypass them, and just go to the white kids. That was their intention. That's what was going on there. All right. I want to see that before a jury. and it may come to that. 855-839-1210. That's how you jump in. This Rand Paul book, though, I'm really looking forward to it. There has to be a reckoning on this. It seems like we've gotten past the other side now, trying to get way past the reckoning that should happen. Who was right? Who was wrong on this stuff? And it's obvious who was wrong on a large part of it, particularly with kids in schools, etc. By the way, I was in New York, so I didn't take my shot at this. I think Nick did in the morning, Dan. You were here. Was it that hot on Friday that it's something like 90 Philadelphia public schools had to close down? They start already.
My question is even deeper. How are we giving so much damn money to this school district and they still can't retrofit and have schools open when it gets hot outside? I mean, that's not like astronomically abnormally hot. I mean, we should have air conditioning retrofitted for these places already with this money we give them.
Or the other is, you know what? They're so far behind as it is now. You would think every day is precious, but it's not. Yeah, I think the new budget is $4.5
billion. Oh, my God.
They've lost tremendous number of kids, and yet on and on it goes, and it will incrementally just get worse. The Philadelphia public schools are never going to be good. The base of it, the theory of it, what they do is against it. There's no competition on this. They're interested just in silly things, as opposed to what they need to do to raise standards and raise kids. They will not be good. They haven't been good in forever. All right, let me go to Joanne in Pottstown. Joanne's waiting, and she's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joanne, afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Dom. I just wanted to check in with you because my husband and I went to Normandy Beach, and the important thing of that visit was that we went to the cemetery at Normandy.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, when you walk in that cemetery, there is a reverence and a tranquility about it as you look at all those crosses, those white crosses facing the ocean, and you think these were young people that gave up their lives, their dreams, what they had to do, and not a blade of grass was out of order in that cemetery. And I did not realize that is American soil. So I was really amazed at that. And I came home with my little vial of sand from Normandy Beach knowing what they went through.
It is a stunning achievement. You're right, Joanne. Knowing the odds, and I'm still stunned that they were able to accomplish it. Yeah, I know the Germans were distracted. Patton did a great job, his reputation of making him believe he was going to invade, and they didn't wake Hitler up. But still, coming up, you've been there, you've seen it. It seems almost impossible to do that.
It really does. But anyway, a lot of people went to Paris, and my husband and I chose to go to Normandy, which was the best decision that we made on this whole trip. So I just want people to know if they have an opportunity to go and see that cemetery, they should really go to appreciate what American young people did at that time.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay. The stunning end, too, to Saving Private Ryan, when he asked the question of his wife was he worthy, essentially, of that sacrifice?
All right, so hard question for you.
Yes.
What is better, and it's hard to decide, Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers?
I like Band of Brothers. I get it. I know some people put that up on Twitter, et cetera.
Yeah.
I think Saving Private Ryan's
You
better.
Think so?
It's got a story that's even more based on a truism.
It's a devil's choice because they're both amazing pieces of art.
Yeah, exactly. I would go with Saving Private Ryan. Maybe I put too much in Spielberg, but
Yeah.
Okay, and you got the opening scene, Dan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Out of the box, they're coming out of the LTD or whatever they call the landing ships. Mm-hmm. By the way, a lot of them with 40 pounds of gear drowned just walking to the shore. Not an easy thing just to get to the shore. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in right now. At 1:30, we're going to talk with one of those FBI whistleblowers. We're seeing all kinds of things today. I think they will hold in contempt the head of the FBI. Let's see what that means, though, of where he will go as far as what he's willing to do so that we can see the documents around Joe Biden. That and a doctor on CNN, their usual medical correspondent, saying Biden's better off if he wears a cane. Wait a minute, Dan, I didn't even see this one. I didn't even know I asked for this one.
What's that?
Robert Kennedy Jr. talking about his son serving in the Foreign Legion.
Oh, yeah. So you sent a clip where Gutfeld played it back, and I jacked it over from the Gutfeld show and put it on our cut sheet.
Let's see. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr., we're trying to get on the show, of course, is an interesting character. The last time we took your pulse, a lot of people were on board. I think some of it may be because of the vaccine stuff. But you got to realize, too, there's a lot of nutbaggery with this guy. All right? Everybody can find something they'll like, and then there's the baggage. Listen to this story. I think this is from Elon Musk yesterday, the Twitter Spaces that he did. Here he's talking about his son serving in the Foreign Legion.
My own son, Connor, joined the Foreign Legion and fought in the Ukraine and during the Kharkiv offensive. We were told initially that the objective was humanitarian. In recent times, President Biden said that one of our objectives, at least, is regime change of Vladimir Putin. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin validated President Biden's statement by saying that our objective in the Ukraine is to exhaust and degrade the Russian army. That is completely antithetical to a humanitarian mission.
I would agree with him on that. Now, here's why it's important. We're seeing all kinds of Republicans talking about all kinds of stuff, and the Ukrainians have launched a counteroffensive. Now, I don't think they're going to drive the Russians out of the territory of Ukraine that the Russians have taken, but I do think they may push the Russians back a bit. So what does that mean? It means the stalemate goes on and continues. And what I'm hoping is that this issue bubbles up in 2024. And if it does, I don't think Biden can articulate, to Kennedy's point, exactly what the mission is there from his view. And I think at this point, it's a loser, meaning that at this point, it's obvious where the sentiment of the country's gone. We've done enough. We've spent enough. We're dangerously close to provoking something else here in Ukraine. If that becomes the debate. Now, Trump is probably stronger on this than Ron DeSantis, who's finding his way, and I'm not exactly sure what DeSantis thinks, but President Trump, we know, wants to get out of there. Now, would he have to answer, well, how are you going to do that? Would he be pushed to say, we're going to give the Russians some of that territory? That would be a moment, but I think the other side's position is long gone. What I'm saying is the longer this war goes on, the longer you have somewhat of a stalemate, well, then the longer the American people are going to say enough. 855-839-1210. Yes.
Do you think RFK is anything more than the political equivalent of an internet troll in this race? Do you think he has any path to real success, or do you think he's just in there to get answers out of the Democratic Party, essentially?
Well, I think he's trying to win. No, I think he is. I don't see
I think he is, but I mean, like, do you think there's going to be any kind of groundswell similar to Trump that we saw to support him? Or
no, I think they have more discipline on this. They're just going to wrap around Biden if they have to. But the key thing is he beats Biden up. In other words, this has repercussion. He gets in the 20s. Of a percentage, which he's pretty close to. Biden, he's going to keep on saying, won't debate him. Biden can't debate him. He can't debate anybody, really. So he's damaging him. Yeah.
We've often talked on the show of whether or not Trump, if he were to lose the nomination, would he support the Republican Party candidate or would he run alone? Now, I'm going to ask you on the other side of things. It seems RFK doesn't fall in line at all with the DNC. If he were to essentially get shunned out by the DNC, could you see him running as an independent candidate and splitting that vote?
Yes. I could see him doing it, even though there'd be tremendous pressure, the family, the whole thing and all. You know, they would cost the presidency. He'd get some Trump voters, but mainly he would get Biden. Coming up, Chris Christie announces today, I have some of the great factoids, if you've ever gotten, about Chris Christie. I got some really juicy ones. Somebody in Politico put down 55 factoids about Governor Christie. I have my own. You may have one. He's doing it at a town hall tonight in New Hampshire.
Get the hell off the beach.
That's in there. All right, straight ahead at 855-839-1210.
That's none of your business.
Don Giordano Show, just gearing up. Can't find my paper here, so I'm going to have to go off the Politico website. 55 things about Governor Christie.
What's her name?
When he was 14, he heard Tom Kaine, of all people.
Oh!
Who was a member of the state legislature, speak. And he was in junior high. He told his mother he wanted to be a politician. She drove him straight to Kaine's house. Told him to knock on the door. Quote, Sarah, I heard you speak, he said. I think I want to get into politics. How do I do that? He was president of his class every year in high school. That's always a bad sign. Let's see. He was starting catcher on his high school team. I know he was a catcher.
His son was like a pretty good baseball player, too.
Yeah,
didn't we talk about that with him at one point?
I remember
something
that.
Something Princeton? Or...
Yes. And then he... part that I'm getting here, some of his personal stuff. There's a lot of baggage there.
Through student government in college, he met his wife, Mary Pat Foster, from Chester County, west of Philadelphia, the ninth of 10 children. They got engaged 9 months after they started. That's quick, 9 months. What's the appropriate time for dating to marriage?
Well, I think I was dating Roe, and within 3 months, I thought we were getting married.
3 months?
Yeah, 3 months.
How long after did you propose from when you guys started
dating? I just said, I think we're going to get married, right? Yes.
Real? That quick?
That quick, yeah.
7.5 years.
Said, yeah, of course. I was thinking the same thing.
Seven and a half years it took me. What a great person Maisie is, Tom.
Yeah,
to
put up with that.
It lasted me for 7.5 before I finally got on that knee.
Now, Christie's favorite book is The Great Gatsby. Favorite movie?
Doesn't surprise me for some reason.
The Godfather. Favorite baseball team? The Mets. Favorite football team? The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, get out of here, dude. You're a Jersey governor.
He's been to more than...
Giants and Eagles fans all over your
state. That's right. He's been to more than 140 Springsteen concerts.
Oh,
140.
Get out. 140?
He knows every word of every song. When Clarence Clemons,
the
saxophonist...
Before these last two things, I kind of like the guy, but now he's a Springsteen and a Cowboys fan.
When
man.
The saxophonist died, Dan, in 2011, Christie told his wife, my youth is over. He's dead.
My youth is over.
Anything that's left of me being young is over.
My youth is
oh,
over.
Oh, my God. The Great Gatsby.
You know, I got to say, I felt the same way when Dave Matthews' Band's Violinist was canceled. So I kind of, you know, feel him there. So Andrew, his son, played baseball at Princeton. He's an assistant director for player development now for the Mets. Good for him.
Let's see. The last thing about Trump. Let's see. In the second grade, he ran out the door of his elementary school and over to the flagpole, took down the American flag for the night. Looked over at the mother of one of his classmates and said, Mrs. Cushman, someday I'm going to be president. Polls say He is at this point historically unpopular, meaning it's pretty hard to find anybody more unpopular.
Point number 425, I want to see if you agree with this one. It says, quote, he cultivated a reputation as a bully. He called an ex-Navy SEAL a, quote, jerk. He called various reporters, various times, various reasons, idiots. Do you see him as a bully?
Personally, you know, after what I went through with him, yeah, but I don't feel that way because when I was jousting with him, it was so thrilling. I wish I could do it every day. I mean, I'd love to be in the ring with this guy right in the studio.
He's a great debater, that's for sure.
Oh, it was just the snorting, Dan. We played sometimes before my first question, which was rather gentle. I was still trying to get him to come back on. About Obama and all. What exactly did I say? Was his response coming out of it. So
when I was at the Shore in Atlantic City, there was a lot of questions about where the funding was going and, you know, from the casinos. And he came to town. I think this is after Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
And a reporter by the name of Tom LaMaine stand up, former NBC 10 sports guy, Philadelphia, longtime TV legend. He stands up to ask a question, and Christie tells him straight up, sit down, you're not from Atlantic City. And Tom goes, well, sir, you know, after I retired, I moved to Atlantic City. But Christie would not answer the question and demanded that he sit down. And it was like this whole thing, Dom. And he's just rubbed me the wrong way since. I respect Tom LaMaine very, very highly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I agree. But as far as the bully, yeah. And I remember when people used to call and attack me, defending him, saying he was only looking out for us. You got to realize at one point he was incredibly popular on the show. Then after he did the Obama hug, then after he came on with me, I think it was a week or so after that, it's been steadily downhill. And I think now he is really unpopular because, let's face it, he's getting in for one reason. There is no path to anything. It's to take out Trump, maybe to take out Ron DeSantis, too. I'm not sure. I would say this. I think both of them have a lot to lose when they deal with Christie, if it's in a debate, both Trump and DeSantis. He's that good. He's a missile. Just determine he'll take himself out if he can take Trump out. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how we get you on. Coming up, we're going to talk with this whistleblower from the FBI. What does he think about the tactic now with this memo that the FBI, Christopher Wray, is using? Let's get a couple more people here. Oh, here's a good one. Eyeglasses today, National Eyeglass Day. Tom in Perkasie. Tom, welcome in. Who do you have?
Hey, Don. Well, first of all, I had Mr. Peanut the other week, and you took him off. But how about Mr. Magoo?
That's a great one.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Yeah, definitely. Joe Biden is Mr. Magoo. Yes.
Mr. Magoo, you've done it again.
Where am I?
Yeah, Mr. Magoo is a very, very good one. And another Tom in Washington Township. All right, Tom, who do you have today?
Go,
Tom. Good. Tom?
Well, he's cut off.
He said Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin, bifocals.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Great answer, Tom.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Special Agent Stephen Friend, who is one of the FBI whistleblowers inside Christopher Wray's realm. And we had quite a good conversation with him after he testified before the House. He has a book coming out on June 13th. We should hope to get him back. True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. And he's joining us because we have this back and forth now with this Biden memo, and they're doing the same tactic again. They get a guy like Jamie Raskin. He reads it along with a Republican. Then Jamie Raskin says, it says nothing, says everything's good here, and comes out. Then what are you going to do? How are you going to dispute this? There is no way to dispute that. I also want to talk about shoplifting, though, and this Lululemon guy firing employees for trying to stop the theft that was going on. This high-end, I only know them, the leggings is the only thing I think of with them. But, you know, shoplifting, we told this to Alan Dom during the debate, and he picked up on it. Philadelphia, we know about homicide. But I would argue the shoplifting type of stuff sets the average person, everybody can identify with that. They've just been raised to know this is just all wrong, just letting people get away with this. So we'll talk about the damage he's doing. He said he fired the employees, and he said it's just merchandise. You know, why are people, we'll catch them. You're not going to catch them, buddy. You just are making this up. Shoplifting is probably a bigger sign than even homicide about how out of control things are. All right, we'll talk with Stephen Friend and take your calls at 855-839-1210. Dom Giordano's show. It seems to be bubbling up today that President Trump is going to be indicted over the documents at Mar-a-Lago. Okay, O'Reilly just put that up. Several people have it up. And that you may see Trump issue a statement knowing that. We'll bring it to you if that happens. Could happen at any time now that he is apparently aware of that. And again, all these, particularly when you have an FBI that has been weaponized, they can't get out from under their reputation. Somebody on the inside of this joins us. We had a great conversation with him. He has a new book coming out on June 13th. So that's a week from today. My journey from beat cop to suspended FBI whistleblower. Joining us is Special Agent Stephen Friend again on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Steve, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me again.
A quick update. Made quite an impression on us. Since you've testified now, it's been a little while. What's your life been like, upside, downside of that?
In the immediate aftermath, there was definitely a lot of surge of support, which was great. You know, it's just been sort of felt like I was shouting into a void for a number of months. Our biggest thing as a group, we call ourselves the Suspendables. That's the name of our little cadre of people that have come forward. And we did it on, I invented it on a lark, thinking maybe we were going to have to be mercenaries one day and rip off some Sylvester Stallone movies. But then Alan Fior of the New York Times caught wind of that and put it in the newspaper Record. So we've just kind of taken it. We were really worried about Garrett O'Boyle and Marcus Allen, who were on either side of me at the hearing. Garrett had been unpaid, suspended, still is indefinitely suspended, unpaid since last September. And Marcus coming in almost a year and a half had not received a paycheck.
Wow.
So we'd established a give, send, go for them, and we're able to make them whole within a week just due to small donations. I mean, thousands upon thousands of small donations from people. And at the very least, if nothing else comes of that, the fact that we were able to help those two gentlemen for the sacrifices they made, I think was worth it.
Absolutely. So when we see this tactic by Christopher Wray now, give me your thoughts. The Republican and Democrats see it. The idea that he doesn't have congressional oversight, he doesn't have to answer to show this. And what we've heard so far, apparently, at least Republicans saying this, Stephen, there's a lot of shell corporations that are set up. And look, that's not direct evidence you did something wrong. But my God, Joe Biden and shell corporations setting them up, it leads us to believe there should be a lot of scrutiny of this. The American people have a right to see this. Redact what you have to.
I agree with you. I think we have to dispel from this veil that the Christopher Wray and the FBI just uses to get out of jail free every single time, where they say that's an ongoing investigation, we can't comment on it, or we have to protect our sources and methods. The Congress legally has oversight authority of the FBI. This is a balance of power issue. The FBI cannot continue to lean on that excuse. And, you know, I give them grace maybe a few years ago, but now that they've been proven to be this woke and weaponized apparatchik, I think that has to be go the way of the dodo bird here. And there needs to be a tremendous amount of scrutiny. Just looking at that source report, the timing of it being the summer during the presidential election, the fact that it was buried in this source report and no indication that there was any sort of assessment or preliminary investigation that went on. I think it needs scrutiny because, look, if they actually did some work and then found out that the information was no good, okay, that exonerates President Joe Biden. And it should make all those that source's information going forward certainly suspect. But if it was good information, then there's no reason why that can't be shared with the American people. We are certainly entitled to know that about our elected representatives.
Yeah, and I think you and I would agree. We want certitude before anybody goes public, because getting your good name back and dealing with all that, very difficult. But there's also intelligence committees and others set up to assess this stuff, and you can redact what you have to that you really are not 100% on. How does the FBI, in your view, and I don't know if you talk about it in your book, get its reputation back? That's going to take a while. Is it breaking it down into smaller units? Would that take some of the weaponization away?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different avenues you could go to if you wanted to reform or even just do away with the FBI and come out with a different – rethink the way we're going to do federal law enforcement. I think it's a six to one, half dozen the other situation. But briefly as I can, we could defang the FBI, take away all of its 1811 criminal investigators. If you take away all the guns in the FBI and leave it to its, you know, technological innovations and maybe some tactical intelligence component – let it be the MI5 of the United States of America, and that takes away its ability to enforce any sort of laws and make recommendations over to the U.S. Marshal Service or local law enforcement, and then partner with that with the task force officer. So the FBI currently deputizes lots of local detectives from sheriff's departments and police offices, and gives them federal arrest authority to assist the FBI, because there's only 14,000 agents. Less than half of them actually work criminal cases. So it's impossible to police nationally without the assistance of locals. And if were we to expand that effort, you would have in a situation where a sheriff could send his best detectives and they could investigate local crimes and then take them federal if that was available to them. And they could really know what the problems were in their local community and enforce it, as opposed to just handling directives from Washington, D.C., who are trying to hit numbers so they can get their budget for next year.
You know, probably the most curious thing, and again, in your book, we'd love to have you back once with the book comes out and people can pre-order right now, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. You're a younger guy, but I mean, you're probably aware. I happen to see that Daniel Ellison is Ellsberg is 92, and there's a piece out about him today because he has terminal pancreatic cancer. And I was thinking about back in the day, the FBI, people on the left were scared to death of how they were being used. The argument was to undermine what they were trying to do around the Vietnam War and the like. Any sense of what happened inside? Is it just Trump related that they became the arm of the Democrat Party over the last number of years?
I think that they're certainly the mask has come off to a greater extent, but there's definitely a case to be made that the FBI has always been an extra constitutional organization. Essentially, they established it and then backdated legislation to establish it legally. And instead of actually preserving the Constitution, which is on paper what its charter is to do, I think the FBI was probably just always about preserving status quo. So when the bad guys of the perceived status quo were communists, the FBI went after communists. When the problems were we had draft dodgers, the FBI went after draft dodgers. And now, as the mission groups come home since September 11th and the foreign terrorist threat has been stomped down by our military, and they've done a fantastic job of doing that, the FBI still has to justify its existence as a self-licking ice cream cone, and it's preserving the status quo of our ruling elite. And our ruling elite tend to fall on the left side of the aisle, significantly so. So they perceive anybody who has a traditionally conservative outlook, you know, pro-traditional marriage, pro-life, pro-border security, as being enemies of the people, and they are going to use all the levers of power to pursue their political enemies. And the FBI is all too happy to do that, because it results in the new headquarters that they're slotted to get, which is going to be a $3.5 billion facility.
My God, yeah,
and record budgets. So I think
that is a really insightful answer, because I can't think the average person in the FBI, even moving up the ranks, is in agreement going after Catholics that go to a Latin mass. But your point about, well, they go where the status quo is, and that's what they're going to push, because that helps them to get ahead, that whether they agree with it or not, it helps to weaponize it. Does Trump, though, set off for some of these? It seems to me with Comey, with why am I blanking on the guy's name, the smug FBI special agent, all-timer, people like that, that Trump particularly seems to set them off.
Oh, yes, without question. I mean, and as you climb the management ranks in the FBI.
It's Strzok, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Strzok. Yeah, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, the whole shebang. And as you climb that ladder, it's sort of self-selecting left-wing individuals, because in order to promote, you have to be willing to start a new initiative. And right-leaning people tend to say, well, where's the waste and the fraud and the abuse, and let's just work cases. And the left-leaning people think, well, I'm going to invent a solution to a problem, and then I'll look for the problem to apply it to.
Well put.
And I've used the comparison to the movie Jurassic World, where they want to use Velociraptors to chase after terrorists. It briefs really well. You put that on a PowerPoint, and you get promoted off that. You don't need a drone strike. You don't need SEAL Team 6. You're going to send Velociraptors. And that's the mentality of too many people in the FBI, and then that's definitely of a left-leaning persuasion.
Well, I can hardly wait till the book is out, just 1 week away, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. Do you have any big TV interviews set up? Where's your first interview?
I've been making the rounds as much as I can, especially with the latest problems that the FBI has, which seems to be an almost daily occurrence. Right now I'm on my schedule here. I'm going to be at the Georgia GOP convention later this week, speaking, where I believe President Trump's going to be there as well. So that'll be live in person. Nothing on the horizon. I did Russell Brand earlier today. And you can
wait a minute. You got to tell me now, what was it like doing the Russell Brand show? Wow.
I was really worried that he was going to be more Oliver Twist than Downton Abbey. I was worried about cutting through that accent. But Russell was great. He had me and Garrett O'Boyle on to talk about our trials and tribulations. So that's worth it. It's a great conversation.
Yeah, my producer has a question for you.
I'm a producer here, and yeah. I've always wondered, is there a name out there that you went into the interview kind of nervous, and you left it saying, man, that was awesome? Was Russell one of those people that you're like, you don't really know what to expect, and then afterwards you're like, oh, that was awesome? Or is there another name that you can think of?
That one was – I actually have a personal story that I wanted to tell him, and I didn't get a chance to do it. My brother and sister have Russell Brand tattoos on their torsos. Unfortunately, it was – well, I guess fortunately, we were talking about serious issues, but I actually had pics, so I wanted to be able to share them with him. And I emailed him afterwards, and maybe he'll have me again.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, better.
We'll have you back. People can pre-order right now. True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. Congratulations on the book. Hopefully we can talk very soon again.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great one.
All right. Special Agent Stephen Friend. Another great find here as we try to get to the bottom of this. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. At 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with domestic terrorists. That's how she builds herself, a practical guide to winning the culture war, Peachy Keenan. And Dan, that is a pseudonym.
Yeah, no idea.
I don't know if we've ever done pseudonyms of people for a side question.
We've done it.
Yeah, have we?
In the sense of like nickname, stage names.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always trying to get one past you and say it's a new one. Yeah, today, though, we're talking about eyeglasses, which we've never done. National Eyeglass Day.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon when producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan time with Dom. Short today because, Dom, that was a great interview you just had with Stephen Friend. That will be out there on 1210WPHD.com, anywhere you find our podcasts, and it will be up on the YouTube channel as well. We'll have that out there. But, Dom, yesterday, Anthony and I, we did our other side also on the YouTube channel. But I just got a quick question before I send it back to you. Did you see Kanye West is now dating someone new? And they were out there, and I don't know if you saw this outfit, but this lady Sensory, I don't know her first name. She, Bianca Sensory, it looks like she has like a tire around her neck. It's the most ridiculous fashion statement I've ever seen. And Kanye has on like mini shoulder pads under his t-shirt.
No, who doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this guy, but Kanye West is back in the news, but no longer by the side of your favorite girl, Kim Kardashian.
By the way, if people want a fashion statement, get a shirt like mine from Ro. It's my business.
Yeah.
That's exactly
it
right.
It is your business.
All right, 855-839-1210. The ratings are in. CNN's Nikki Haley show on CNN, down 80% from the audience that President Trump drew. And next hour, we'll have more to say. We're starting to see people, I wouldn't say universally. So feel free to step up to the plate and say, I'm in a camp that says shame on the PGA Tour, and the head of the PGA was on CNBC, Dan, and they were making the argument the Saudis will now rule golf. And you could say, well, who cares? I'm not a golfer. The bottom line is it's a prestigious sport. I'll tell you one group that will not crumple before the Saudis, the Masters. You know, if the Saudis want to do some nonsense there and they say, well, you got to do this. We have all this money. We're in charge of this new league up with the PGA. They'll tell them to go pound sand, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting to see where people fall on this. I think it's disgusting.
You know what? I actually have that audio for you. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of the PGA Tour director. Now they're going to be in a league with the Saudi league.
Well, I want to take a second to say shout out to my fantasy football league that I have a bunch of police sources in. So they wanted a shout out. But here is your CNBC PGA Tour.
You think they're going to respond positively? I mean, you're describing a scenario under which PIF at some point could have the majority of the economics, correct me if I'm wrong, of this entity. Essentially, the Saudis sort of people will say, oh, they control golf around the world. I'm just curious as to what you think the response is going to be.
Well, listen, a lot of people have been reading about the tension and that we've talked a lot. And I said previously that we were going down our path. They were going down theirs. And today that tension goes away. The litigation is dropped. We're announcing to the world that on behalf of this game, we're coming together. And it's less about how people respond today, and it's all about how people respond in 10 years. And when they see the impact that we're having on this game together, there'll be a lot of smiles on people's faces, and there'll be a lot more people playing this game all over the world. And if you're a young player that wants to get to the highest level of the game today, you'll be more inspired than you've ever been.
It's not about that, buddy. It's not just about golfers and, you know, people reaching the upper level. You can't be in bed like with, they want to use this to wash away what they're about. And I know people can say, well, look at our flaws. You can give me a call after our next guest, domestic extremist Peachy Keen, an internet sensation. But really, we're like Saudi Arabia? We're like Russia? We're like China? I don't think so. Whatever flaws we have, we're still the greatest nation, the most evolving nation in the history of the world. We're not like these people, the people that rule Saudi Arabia. Not in a million years. 855-839-1210. You get in now on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.